I don't know about you, but just seeing those words on the screen gets me a little anxious, right? Isn't that true? I mean, the idea that, man, there are so many things going on in our lives, you could just feel it kind of welling up in the pit of your stomach, can't you? And so we're going to be talking over the next few weeks about what it looks like for the follower of Christ to be in the middle of that. To be overwhelmed and outnumbered. And the next thing you think about, well, that I thought about, is the word twins. Right? Maybe you don't all have that same experience, probably not, or they'd be going crazy back in kids' church. But twins, man, overwhelming sometimes. Just kids, overwhelming, right? Sometimes we have that no matter what we're going through, maybe it's a marriage. You know, we're in the middle of a difficult place and we're trying to figure out, okay, is this going to work? Can I make it through? You know, maybe it's your health. You know, you've gone to a doctor and a doctor says, hey, look, I don't want to tell you this, but I have some overwhelming news for you. Something that you're going to have to be dealing with. Or maybe it's the mortgage company that keeps calling and calling and calling. And you say, I got nothing to give you. So many things in our life can overwhelm us, can overtake us. You know, that feeling of the wave crashing on top of us. And you know, it seems that every time God begins to speak to you about something like what it looks like to be overwhelmed and how you should be walking with him and how we can be following him, life gets more challenging, doesn't it? We say, wait, Lord, I'm just trying to learn here. Wait, just give me a moment. You know, it's a common thing to be overwhelmed. It's not something that is uncommon to our experience as humans. I think about Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he said, we were at the point of being completely overwhelmed, even to the point where we didn't think we would make it another day. Paul and his friends were overwhelmed. The great missionary, Paul, the great Christian, the guy who we look to, he says, I've been there. Peter, man, the guy who many think of as like this pillar, right, of the church, this great follower of God, he says, I've been there too. I have been overwhelmed in life. And David, you know, we're going to read Psalm 61. But if you look at the book of Psalms, you will find out that David was almost continually overwhelmed. You know, they say that the best songs, right, are the ones that are born out of that experience. That life experience where you go, this was awful. This was overwhelming. So I'm going to put it into a song and make lots of money, right? But have you ever been overwhelmed? There's some good news that I have for you tonight. Paul was overwhelmed. David was overwhelmed. Peter was overwhelmed. Chris is overwhelmed. What about you? Are you overwhelmed? Here's the good news. God is never overwhelmed. He is never out of his league. He is never going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Ah, that is good news. So I want to share with you that being overwhelmed is not the thing that we're to be avoiding in the Christian life. Because guess what? It's going to happen. Where we need to grow is knowing what to do in the middle of it. And we're going to look today at the direction that God's people head when the storm gets rough. And we're going to get some perspective from David in Psalm 61. You know, when King David pulled out his instrument to write this song, when he pulled out his paper and pen and started putting down some lyrics, he was being chased out of his kingdom. Here was King David without his kingdom. A rebellion against his leadership was taking place. Talk about overwhelming. Imagine losing control over your life and over your responsibilities. You know, if that wasn't bad enough, the guy that wanted his job, the guy who was driving him out, was his own son. Gee, thanks. I must have messed up somewhere, right? Talk about overwhelming. And that situation brought these words out of David. He says this, "Hear my cry, O God." Hear my cry, O God. Attend or pay attention to my prayer. It says, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. He said, I am at the wit's end. I am at the furthest that I can be from you. I feel like I can't even reach you. I'm crying out to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lord, I'm going to cry out to you. Because I am overwhelmed. Can you imagine those gut-wrenching moments of David's life? He had been there. He knew what it was like. And he's living in overwhelming circumstances. But his example that we're going to find in this passage leads us to understand, first of all, that turning to the Lord makes all the difference when you're overwhelmed. You know, even before the struggle, before this particular situation, this particular overwhelming circumstance, David had begun a relationship with God. And David was in the habit of seeking after God. You know, if you were here last week, we talked about that personal time with the Lord, right? Just we need to get away and seek his face. And David, one thing that's said about David is that he was a man after God's own heart. He was someone who chased after the core of God's being. He was passionate about finding out who this God that he served was. And there's something about walking with God into the struggle. Not that we're never surprised, not that by the circumstances or the situations that are going on, but knowing from the very beginning that your life is his. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, it talks about what has already taken place in the life of a Christian. It says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, this week we're at VBS, we're going to be kind of doing that secret agent theme, right? And I love that stuff. That's so cool to me. And all the gadgets and gizmos. And any second now, I'm kind of expecting my shoe to go off. And I'll have to pick up my phone, right? It's going to start ringing. But, you know, those movies, you've seen them, right? You've read Sherlock Holmes. When your back is against the wall, when your circumstances are too overwhelming, you fake your death and start over, right? Isn't that what they do? They say, okay, I can't handle it anymore. Let's slip out and try something else. Go a different direction. But our situation was so desperate without Christ that the only alternative was to die to ourselves and to be raised up again by him. And where is it that we ended up starting over? It says in this verse, hidden with Christ in God. There's something about that relationship in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of the things that are overwhelming our life, that we can say, I have you, Lord. and I need to give my life to him. There can be a relationship that cannot be denied or replaced. It's that bedrock principle in his word. I need to just surrender. I need to give my life over to him. In many ways, it changes the struggle, right? He's walking beside us. We are never hopeless. But we still experience those overwhelming times in life. And in the midst of that, in the middle of his relationship with Almighty God, David says, I can't handle it anymore. I can't do it. He says, hear my cry, O God. And you know, admittedly, sometimes we're overwhelmed by our own mess. Isn't that true? We are. It's called sin. I don't like it, but it's true. Sometimes when I act outside of what God has clearly shown to me, guess what? I get overwhelmed by the consequences of that. And I don't want you to just skip over that, because if God is calling you out of that, let's step forward. Let's cry out to him. But sometimes we're just walking through life, you know? Because we're living in a messy, broken world, we can find ourselves overwhelmed. In fact, sometimes we're even taking steps of faith toward God. We're lining our hearts up with his, and then boom, right? Something comes and just seems to be coming over us like a wave. Makes me think of Peter, who was invited out onto the water in the middle of a storm with Jesus. And the crazy man said, yes. Okay, I'll do it. I don't know about me. But he said, I'll follow you even into a mess. And when the storm was overwhelming him, when it was too much for him, he cried out, Lord, save me. Matthew 14:30, you can hear his cry and his passion. I need you. I can't do this anymore. David would later write a song of declaration. In Psalm 121, the second part of verse 1 and verse 2, it says, where does my help come from? Says, I need help. Where does it come from? Says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The guy who has all the strength in the world, who is never overwhelmed by anything. He is the one that I need to look to, the one that I need to cry out for. But who's the one that we cry to? You know, maybe another way, where do we go to try to fix it? What's the first direction you go when you're in a jam or overwhelmed by what's happening around us? Sometimes we go to our own wisdom or experience. You know, the things that we've seen, the things that others tell us. Yes, this is what you need to do, and it'll all be okay. You won't have to worry. Just take this course of action. Or sometimes we try to push through it. You know, just get it done, just get through, put your head down and figure it out. I'm going to do something, right? But in Psalm 61, after David cries out to the Lord, after he cries out to the one who is never overwhelmed, the one who can actually do something about your situation, David does something remarkable, something that I wouldn't have thought of, and it changed everything. He rested. And resting in the Lord is essential when you're overwhelmed. I'm going to call it active resting, okay? Because I want to use that term because I don't want you to take it as laziness or defeat. It's not the easy way out. In fact, it goes against what we've always thought we should do on those overwhelming days. And you know, when we're faced with those situations, we all react differently. Some of us are going to try to fix it, and some of us just kind of shut down, right? But in verses 2 through 4 in Psalm 61, I want you to listen and read the underlined words with me, with what David, how David describes this active rest. What does he say? He says, lead me. Lead me. Says, I can't do it myself. I need your direction. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. You know, David, in this passage, doesn't show much of that self-reliance. You know, he doesn't show much of that, I'm going to pick up, the bootstraps thing. I don't even know what bootstraps are, but pick yourself up by the bootstraps, right? I'm going to get through this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure this out. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by this situation. He doesn't say that. He follows the Lord's lead and stays in the place that God puts him. He looks for those places of safety. He looks for those opportunities to be sheltered from the overwhelming storm by an overwhelming God. You know, we're often in such a hurry to get through our particular overwhelming season, right? That particular time that is stressing us out, that we're struggling with. We're so ready to be through it, to put it behind us, that sometimes we miss the glimpses of God that are only found there in the struggle when we're actively resting in him. You know, the psalmist uses a musical notation here that kind of just says it all. It's Selah. It simply means as you're singing, as you're listening to this song on the radio, there's going to be a pause. Music's going to keep going. Take a breath, right? Just means pause. But I think that this one here is especially for the purpose of telling the singer, the reader, you, me, catch your breath. Rest. Fill your lungs because God is going to work. And he's going to teach you something about who he is that you didn't know before. But you say, you know, that's the problem. I'm overwhelmed with life. Who has time to rest? Who has time to take time out of my busy life to just say, okay, God, would you work in me and in my family? We see it as a luxury instead of a necessity. And the idea of this kind of rest is something that you will find pictured over and over in God's word. From the very beginning, he gave us an example. 6 days he created, and on the seventh, he rested. Why do you think he rested? You think God said, man, whew, that was tough. You know, when I created man and when I created all the animals, when I created the sea, when I brought the water into the depth, oh my goodness, that was, oh, I just got to sit down. No. Our God is one of power and strength that is unlimited. But he set the example for us because we need it. He showed us the importance of rest in the middle of our lives. You know, in the Old Testament, God established a similar pattern of rest for the Jewish people. It was called Sabbath. And every Saturday was a day to catch your breath. A day to stop the struggle for just a moment. A day to get refocused and to look to the Lord. And to allow him to provide for their needs. You'll even see this, an idea of a Sabbath year. Every 7 years, they'd be working in the fields and getting everything ready. And God said, okay, in the seventh year, I want you to give that field a rest. There's something important about that. And even there's an idea of, it's called the year of Jubilee, a year where those who were enslaved were set free. Those who had debts, their debts were wiped out. Land was returned to their previous owner, their family owner. And God said, you need to trust me. Would you rest? There's so much that we can learn from this Old Testament practice. But sometimes we jam our lives so full of stuff that we have no room for what's essential. Not only in our day, but in our spirit as well. And you know, you might say, well, we're Americans, right? We're busy. That's just what we do. Sometimes we write it off as industrious, right? I got to do it. I got to get it done. It's got to get done. Somebody's got to do it. And I'm not standing before you saying, don't work hard, okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't extend yourself to get the job done. I'm saying that many of us live there. Many of us live at a pace of 7 days a week, not stopping. And guess what? After that week is over, another one's coming around, isn't it? And it starts all over again. And I don't have the time that I need to refocus, to pause. You know, many times we're so consumed with our current situation that we have no chance to look ahead. And as a result, our focus is off. We become distracted. We're not intentional about our daily life. We allow things to get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. You know, maybe they're okay things. Maybe they're decent things. But they're not essential things. You know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but getting ready for going away has changed a lot since we started packing for kids. Now, we're out of the, you know, pack and play stage, but that took up half the car. And we had two, so that was it. We had to get a car top carrier. Okay, so I love that challenge, though. I love the challenge of getting all of that into this little space, right? It's kind of fun. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. And just when you get everything perfect, just when you get everything in, you stand back, and then I hear, Chris, did you pack your bag? How's it going to fit in here? There's no room. There's no space. When it's full, it's full. Then you go to grandma's house, and guess what? There's something extra for the kids that is about that big, right? Or there's some memento that you're to take home with you, and it needs a trailer. But there's no room. There's no space. It's full. And all the while, you had those golf clubs sitting in the back of your vehicle, packed away so nicely, and you never even used them on the trip, right? It's full. There's no room. I think that's the way it can be with our relationship with the Lord and even with our daily lives. You know, so many of us are scheduled so tightly. It's no wonder that we often get overwhelmed. It's no wonder that we often miss out on what we discover later is truly important. There's no margin in our lives, no open slots, no appointments. They're just waiting to be filled. We don't even have a chance to evaluate it many times. You know, between going to games and going to this event or that program, working on a project, working overtime on a project, you know, the calendar alert goes off on your phone before you finish the thing that you forgot to put in your calendar that now you have to do, right? You go to the park, you run errands, you live life, you go to the ER because someone fell off the swings in the park. It's so much, and there's no room, there's no space. We can lose track of our purpose, our role in this life. As followers of Christ, we can get overwhelmed. But you know, that's one of the reasons why we come to church. To take a breath, to hear from the Lord, to get our focus back on track. And maybe God would challenge you and your family. Maybe you need to allow your weekend worship to be kind of a jump start on extended times of seeking the Lord together. And I'm not saying that all you should do is just sit around in your living room and open your Bibles the whole day and that, you know, you're just reading the Bible together. I'm saying that we need to allow the Lord to bring up and to bring out things within your family Maybe by not having an agenda. Maybe by building in space in your calendar. Maybe by saying no sometimes. Maybe by putting aside the distractions of life to make room to hear from the Lord. To take a breath, to find your priority in Him, to find your purpose in Him, to grow together with others. There's so much that we could talk about in this regard, and we can even mess that up with rules and regulations like the religious leaders of Jesus' day. If you want, you can write down Mark chapter 2 and look back at it later on this week when you have your free time, right? They took the heart right out of the Sabbath. And Jesus said, "No, I don't think you understand. The Sabbath, the rest, was for your benefit, not for mine. It wasn't to make me feel good or to fulfill some religious obligation. It was for you, because you need it. You need those times of resting." And it's amazing how those times of physically resting allow for us to more fully rest in God spiritually, to come before Him and to say, "Okay, God, I've got the time. Would you speak to my family?" And in many ways, it's different from that quiet time. It's different from that personal time, because you'll see that it incorporates the family of faith. It incorporates your physical family, incorporates friends, that you would just come and just say, "Lord, would you speak to us? Would you allow me to be on the right track? Would you allow my mind and ours together to take a breath?" Very simply, do we set aside time to be with God's people? Do you have a spot for your family to just be together with God on your minds, encouraging one another? It helps us to pay attention to the Lord and to see His work around us. You know, many times there are spiritual breakthroughs, and even those breakthroughs where things seem overwhelming, and God brings peace into a situation because we rest. But there are other times where, even though we're saying, "Okay, God, I'm going to leave it up to you, I'm going to let you take care of this," we're still in the middle of an overwhelming place. And He says, "It's okay. Just rest in me. Let me take care of it." As Peter was being overwhelmed by a very real storm in his life, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And in verse 31 of Matthew 14, it says that Jesus took hold of him. That's what I want in my life, don't you? And Peter rested in the safety of Jesus' strength. Just like the lifeguard who's trying to save your flailing self, right? He says you need to rest. You need to allow them to do what only they can do. And it just might save your life. It just might save your family. It just might save that situation that's going on that feels so overwhelming. And as Peter gets back into the boat, Jesus suddenly calms the storm. He just says, "It's over." Wow. And Peter and the other disciples just stare at him. They say, "This man, you are certainly God's son. There is something about you that is not like any of us, because we can't do that. We are overwhelmed. We're not in control. I'm going to stick with you." He offers us so much wisdom, so much protection from the overwhelming storms of our lives. But we need to make it a practice to pause and to notice. And as we yield to Him, as we rest in Him, He reveals more of Himself in the middle of your circumstances. Are you giving Him an opportunity to bring you forward in your walk with Him simply by resting? When you find yourself in a difficult situation, you say, okay, what's the plan? What are we going to do? What's the next step? When is his son going to find him? You know, and when he does find him, is he going to let him live? There are too many of them. David is going to get overrun. He's going to get overwhelmed. And maybe he's chosen to call out to God. Maybe he's resting in God today. But what about tomorrow's challenge? There's always another struggle right around the corner. It's because we live in a world that is broken. We are people who are broken. And David says, you know what? I'm going to leave it up to you. Look at Psalm 61, starting in verse 5. It says, for you, O God, have heard my vows. It says, you know my heart. You know what I've given to you, what I've promised you. I've given you my life. It says, you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. He says, there are people who are relying on me for their safety. They're relying on me not to be, to give in to this overwhelming sense of fear and anxiety. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And then this is what he says. You will prolong the king's life, says the king, right? David says, you are going to save me, right? You are going to take care of me. You're going to take care of your servant. Says his years are as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. He even says, you know, no matter what, me and you forever. No matter what the situation, no matter what the outcome of this situation or the next one, it's me and you forever, God. It says, oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him, which may preserve David. He says, I'm going to depend on you. I have confidence that you will take care of me. I don't know all the ways that you're going to do it. I don't know all the details, and I don't need them. I'm trusting you for my future while I'm still overwhelmed. While the storm is still going on around me, I'm going to trust you for then. You know, I love this verse in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It says, so don't worry about tomorrow. First, tomorrow will take care of itself. Sounds great, right? I'm excited about that part. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Good, I don't have to worry about it. Then, kind of add this part. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Oh, great, right? Is that supposed to make me feel better? There's more coming my way? I'm already overwhelmed. There's already too much. And you're telling me that tomorrow there's going to be more? Look back a couple of verses. Verse 31 says, don't worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Wait, those are questions that I might need to be asking in the future? You're saying I might be saying, okay, God, I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure you haven't figured out, but what am I going to eat today? What am I going to wear today? What's going to happen to me today? I mean, and Lord, those are kind of some essentials. Those are kind of some basics, right? I have some other stuff that I want you to work in, and you're saying I might even have to wrestle with that? He says, no, don't worry about what you will drink or what you will wear for clothing. He says, you don't need to be worried. He says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Their constant focus is, okay, I need to accumulate. I need to get. I need to set aside because I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't have a backup plan. He says that the ones who don't know me worry about that sort of thing. But here's what he says. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Can you hear the tenderness of God's heart? It's not just saying, okay, you're going to have to figure it out. Life is going to be tough. He says, look, I know. I know. care of you. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, don't seek after stuff. Seek after me, and I'll take care of the rest. And at the end of the day, at the end of tomorrow, we're better off if we've concerned ourselves with getting to know the heart of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. You don't even want to know. But I'll bring you through. I'll take care of it. Trust me. Rest in me. You know, for David, there was no resolution at the end of this psalm. When he put down his pen, when he put his instrument away, he was in the same place. His enemies were coming after him. His son was trying to dispose of him, to get rid of him. And here he is, standing in the middle of that overwhelming wave, saying, okay, God, okay, I'm going to rest in you. Lord, you are the one that I'm going to have to turn to. You're the one that I'm going to have to cry out to. I don't have the strength, but you do. And I'm going to set some time aside. I'm going to take a breath because I need to see you work. I need to learn more about you. I need to know you. And sometimes that only comes through the struggle. At the end of this psalm, he didn't have his kingdom back. He didn't have his son back. But he was willing to trust the Lord. He was willing to allow God to bring resolution. Not when and how I think is best, but when and how he knows is right. I'm going to yield to him. I'm going to rest in him. I'm going to stop demanding my way and seek him. The last verse of this song tells us about a choice that David made when he was overwhelmed. So the question for us is going to be, what's your choice going to be? Verse 8 says, so I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. It says, Lord, I want to be in tune with you. I want to praise your name. You are the one who's going to bring about, ultimately, my salvation from this mess. I don't know how, I don't know when. It may be when I just stand before you in heaven. That may be when you bring resolution, but you're going to take care of it. And in the meantime, in the middle of being overwhelmed, I'm going to sing your praise forever. Now, David's goal was not ease in life. The goal isn't smooth sailing. And as Christians, that's what we want. That's what we, and many times we come to the Lord and we say, God, this is my expectation. Okay, yes, I know, my life was messy. Now you fixed it, right? Okay, so from here on out, things are going to be easy, right? He says, no. But I'm with you. But you can rest in me. But you can cry out to me. I can do something about it. The goal is to know Christ better and let him take care of the rest. It might hurt sometimes. There will be a lot of things that you don't necessarily understand in this life. But even though most of my life is out of my control, I can know that nothing is out of his. So when I face those situations, those struggles, those difficulties, those everyday piling up sort of things in my life, I can say, I'm going to trust you. Why don't we pray together? Father, we come before you today because we can't do it on our own. Lord, I thank you that you never meant for us to. I thank you that we don't have to have a backup plan. We don't have to plug through. We don't have to figure it out. You are the one who's going to take care of it. Lord, it doesn't mean that I don't meet the challenges. But I allow you to do your work. Lord, help me. Lord, as we cry out to you tonight, would you help us? We are overwhelmed, but we praise you in the middle of it. No matter what, no matter where, no matter how. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our lives, for all that you're going to do. Help us. We need you. In Jesus' name.